I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. I'm going to read right through to verse 25. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry, this master, and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And then a couple of verses from 15, starting at verse 4. I'm just going to remind you of the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the lost coin, that sequence of parables. Psalm 139, certainly the portion we read, presents a theme of God's inescapability. God's presence is everywhere, like we heard from the poem as well. God's presence, the Spirit, is everywhere. There is no place or time we can go where God is not. And our verses from Luke 14 carry a theme as well. And that theme is the theme of God's desire to have as many as possible enjoy His feast of grace through Jesus. Enjoy His banquet. This banquet is the kingdom of God active in this world. And I find that Green Eggs and Ham carries very strong echoes of those two themes. Very strong echoes. I'd like you now to think for a moment to an episode in your life when you may have been trying to help someone, just like good neighborly help, or trying to convince them of something you are sure would be good for them. Not as a salesperson, but just something generic that would be good for them, but they're not accepting your help, your encouragement. Think of a time like that for yourself in relation to these passages and Green Eggs and Ham. I'll remind you of 2 of mine quickly to give you an idea of it. I've told both of these, I'm pretty sure, here before, but maybe only in the evenings. Because I want you to be in a moment right now where you recapture, where you get some of that sense of frustration that can be experienced when you're trying to help and the helpee is not receiving. One of my stories is the story of a loon that got stranded in a gravel parking lot next to where we lived. And it was giving off a distress call. There had been a major rainstorm. It was giving off distress calls, and it was running from one end of the puddle to another trying to take off, but it couldn't get off the ground. And so particularly my daughter started phoning around trying to find out what we could do, if anything, to help this bird that had landed in what had been a great big puddle that was quickly disappearing. So the advice we got was to go try and get close to it, throw a towel over it, put it in a box, and bring it to a body of water that was deeper and that had long enough distance that it could take off. So we did that. Family project. Rubber boots on, walk into the puddle, circle the bird, got a towel over it, got it in a box. All that dangerous stuff was Dad's job somehow. And we took it over to another pond. And we got to the place. There was a kind of a steep embankment getting there. I knew which end was the head of the bird. And boy, if you ever get to see a loon up close, it's just the most amazing thing. I saw God in a moment I'll see the devil in that thing too, but, cause they do have beady red eyes, but the beauty of the feathering is just the most amazing thing. Especially cause it's all just black and white, but it's so beautiful. So I knew which end the head was on, and so I went to pull the towel back and slide it out of the box so that it could enjoy its freedom and so we could all feel really good for helping the loon. It came after me! It turned around, the water was right there, and it turned around and got me in the hand. You know, that's the devil part. And I've told another story, and I think I've referred to this one a couple times, when there was an occasion where a person who had come out of a bar had stopped me in my car and asked for a ride home, and I said, no, it's not cold, it's not that cold, you can make it home yourself. And shortly after that, I found this person, this drunk, in a steep embankment ditch that was basically open sewage, if you've ever lived in Richmond. And so trying to get this, like, almost 300, well, he felt like 300-pound man out of the sewage that he thought was a bubble bath. And the frustration and the anger that frustration, the strength of that kind of frustration can give you. So I'd get him up on the bank and I'd be huffing and puffing and then he'd just go, and down he'd go and he'd start blowing bubbles in the sewage again. And anyway, two situations, trying to give help and it's not being received well, okay? That feeling. You'd think Sam I Am would have got there, but he was persistent. So in this story, in this Dr. Seuss story, I see Sam I Am as someone who is trying to do something good like that. And from the very get-go, as a student of the Bible and theology, reading this to my children, I was always curious about the name. It holds interest from a theological perspective because, of course, one of the key names God gives for himself is I Am. Or I am who I am. So whenever the phrase I am is used, something triggers for me and I start to wonder, is it theologically significant? From what I know, in some research that I did, the author of the book was of Jewish background. And so he may well have known of this name of God as he wrote the book. But he may also just have picked a name that sounded rhythmically right. We know that Dr. Seuss was a lot about rhythm and repeated patterns of sounds. But speaking of names still, it's also interesting to notice that the character Sam I Am interacts with, what's that character's name? It's not given. Brilliant. Because then it could be us. See, if it was Joe, then anyone who's not a Joe wouldn't relate. So there's no name given for the person being interacted with. Whatever the author had in mind, it's not hard to imagine, for me anyway, Sam I Am as in some way standing in for God. A God who we've seen from our scripture samplings is concerned to have everyone participate in his meal. Concerned to find the lost and who is everywhere that we could go. Sam I Am does the same things God does. He seeks. He invites, repeatedly, annoyingly, okay, yeah. And he persuades. He even follows our character into the depths. There's also now a part of the story that reminds me not only of the psalm we read this line out of the psalm. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. But it reminds me of the story of Jonah. And I think we have the slide now where that part of the story happens. Is that ready to go? The dark one, the blue one? Where Sam I Am follows his target into the depths. We know that people who are set against God are only likely to turn towards God's plan, God's way, when they reach their so-called low point. Well, the depths, seems to me, is symbolic of a low point, a point we might reach when we are trying to escape God and God's call on us, like Jonah, and like the younger prodigal of the two lost sons, who found himself feeding pigs, the lowest of low for a Jewish male, and jealous of the pigs. He follows us to the depths, and he's there when we find them. So, are we able to do the slides? This is the one that has just words on it. They were towards the end. Okay. This is, in fact, exactly what happened in Green Eggs and Ham. The person Sam I Am is interacting with refuses right to the very depths, and then kind of surfaces out of those depths, like one of the children said, it was in the water that it finally happened, almost implying baptism, surfaces, and then says, okay, I'm ready to try it. I'm willing to try it God's way. God, I'm willing to try what you're trying to annoy me with, what you're offering me. So maybe you're beginning to see how we can find God's truths echoed in general revelation. That's part of what I'm showing you in this book. In a simple, favorite, common children's book. It doesn't matter how the author intended, whether the author intended it or not. I see it there now, and I share it. Even those who don't believe in God as we do can't escape God's truth because it, like God's presence and spirit, is everywhere. Sam I Am pursues his target in a similar way to a God who gently but persistently is always waiting for a person to turn to him. That, to me now, is the main way this story functions. I maybe should have warned you at the beginning. I might spoil the story for you in the future. I'm very sincerely hoping that every time you get to the depths page, you think of that psalm and Jonah and those kinds of things. That you think of God's message, even as you read a children's story. So that's the main way this story functions now. It's about that pursuing an all-present God. Now, some people might find Sam I Am annoying, like in the way a persistent survey taker is, or a robocall, or a pushy salesperson. It certainly comes across that way at first. And some people experience God that way as well. Because you know what? Some people, before they know God properly, find the thought and someone telling them that God wants relationship with them, they find that annoying as well. Just like Sam I Am's recipient, target, found him annoying. Notice also that there's no hint of any selfish motive in Sam I Am in the story. Sam I Am seems innocent and innocently solely intent on having his target appreciate something that's available in life that the target until this point has thought is not good. In that way, Sam I Am Sam I Am as God may well be annoying to some targets. But Sam I Am as God has pure, nothing but pure motives. He's trying to get someone to appreciate the spiritual feast that is available, but not joined yet. So hopefully, because I'm being brief about it, you see Sam I Am now as a pretty good representative, a pretty good reflection or image bearer of a God who cares, who will pursue those outside of the banquet to the very depths, waiting for the moment when they will accept the invitation to enjoy the feast he has ready. That's the main way I see it functioning. But I see this story of green eggs and ham functioning another way as well. And that may feel a little more relevant for you here, but also more challenging. But the fact that I'm going to challenge you should never surprise you after a year. This way that it works is aimed at those who already are God's children, but who may have become complacent in their participation in God's feast. Sam, I am, as God, has a message for them too. And that message is that God might just have something in mind for you to try that you are resisting because you see it as green eggs and ham. I do not like green eggs and ham, you're thinking. This thing, whatever it is, might be, just as an example, risking a conversation about faith with someone at work or in the neighborhood. Because when we think of doing that, for most of us, I know we are all like that. There's just a minority, very small exception of people that love talking to everybody about that. When we think of doing that, talking to a coworker or a neighbor about Jesus, I do not like green eggs and ham, is our response. Or whatever it is, it could be something different for everyone here, that God, in Sam I Am, is offering you in your life, saying, try this for my sake. So our simple, somewhat silly-sounding children's story now has built into it a challenge for those who already have in hand their invitation to the banquet and who have, as we call it, RSVP'd, Respondez, s'il vous plaît, who've said they'd come, but have not joined yet. This message is for them. And I'll put it in the form of a question. What new thing might God be asking you to participate in, to His glory, that you resist because it seems too hard, too yucky, it seems the wrong color for you? Is there something like that in your life? You've made a commitment to God. You come and worship. You said yes in the song that we did before. But maybe you come to a certain point of serving God and you say, I don't like green eggs and ham. That seems like green eggs and ham to me. Well, if you're recognizing, and the Holy Spirit will be prompting you to think of it right now, if it is the case, if you have something like that, this children's story is for you. Many who have discerned in the past that God was wanting to stretch them further have come to a point where they finally tried, maybe even slightly annoyed tried, but they tried in faith, they risked it, and ended up surprised at how enjoyable the feast was. And they, somewhat like Sam I Am's target, in the end say something like, say, I like green eggs and ham. And they may end up saying, and I'm thinking of you in First Church here now as I finish my time with you, but as I think of your future, they may end up saying something like this. Say, I like green eggs and ham. And I like God's ways again. Thank you. Thank you, God of Sam. And God's people said, Amen. Another song, but I've lost track. Lead me, guide me. Think of green eggs and ham when you think of that, when you sing this. You, in this song, if you sing it seriously, are asking God to lead you through your, whatever your green eggs and ham is. Let's stand to sing, and a little bit of swaying is okay. Okay, just a little bit.
Before we pray this morning, I just found out this morning, too, that a former pastor at First Church, Reverend Bulkins, passed away. So we'll remember him and his family in our prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, you are one awesome God. You care and you love and care for us, for our congregation, for the church, for a whole human race forever.